Well, good afternoon. Well, South Australia, I should say, is probably in the same position that New South Wales Motor Accident Authority was in, that when I was first asked to get involved in this plenary session, that we were looking in South Australia to have some new legislation that we were to implement. Fortunately, I should say, it didn't happen. The government in South Australia has decided that it probably needs to look at, to quote the minister, a roots and branches approach to what the scheme should look like in South Australia. So what I thought I might do is quickly just talk about the 2008 reforms and then where we are today, what's happened with the scheme, is that sustainable, why perhaps it's not, and what the future might actually look like. So the 2008 reforms were a fairly significant piece of legislation in South Australia designed to significantly reduce the unfunded liability. It's very fair to say that those reforms have not been successful. The major reason for them not being successful is essentially poor implementation. I think that probably goes without saying. It's been a very passively managed scheme to date in South Australia, and that's resulted, I think, in the situation that we are today. What I thought I might do is just give you a quick look at where we are financially within the scheme at the moment to set the context of why sustainability of the scheme, to quote the minister, is buggered. I'm sure those of you that are following South Australia would have seen those words being bandied about by our minister in recent weeks. And the scheme at the moment is essentially designed as a 3% pension scheme. I'm not sure if too many of you understand how South Australia works, but it essentially gives injured workers 80% of their pre-injury earnings until retirement age. I'm not quite sure anywhere else in the world where people get benefits that are quite so generous, and quite clearly in today's world where states are trying to compete against each other, South Australia is charging roughly double any other state in Australia, and it does tend to make it a very, very uncompetitive in that business and labour market. So what I thought I would just quickly do is just quickly walk you through. I might just pull all this up so I don't get lost. Okay. So there is no doubt at the moment that the South Australian scheme over the past number of years has been very passively managed, very poorly managed, and I think WorkCover has to stand up and take responsibility for that. It's all very well to blame agents and other service providers win the scheme, but ultimately, end of the day, WorkCover is the insurer, and it has to stand up and take some responsibility for where we are in the scheme today. It's probably easy for me to say that because I haven't been there 12 months yet, so the challenge is ahead for me and the team that I've put in place in South Australia to try and overcome that. As you can see from those numbers up on the screen there, that the WorkCover performance in South Australia, or the WorkCover scheme in South Australia, is well behind what's happening in other jurisdictions. We have an unfunded liability of $1.36 billion as at the 30th of June this year. In the context of other schemes, it possibly doesn't look that much, but if you put that into context, it's actually 63.7% funded, meaning that we're close to 35% unfunded or short in the funds that we require if we had to run this particular scheme off. I wouldn't want to be in that situation if I was an APRA supervised insurer, because we'd be shut down real quick. The average premium rate being charged in South Australia at the moment is 2.75%, roughly double what's being charged in every other state in Australia, roughly double. And I think that's where the is it sustainable question actually comes from. It isn't if you want to create economic prosperity in South Australia that puts it on par with what's happening in other jurisdictions. And I think that's certainly the direction that the government is now looking at in South Australia, and partly the reason why they didn't go ahead with the reforms that they were proposing as a result of recognising that a much more serious ground-up approach to the legislation was required. Our estimated break-even premium rate, and this is where the real problem is 3.34%. So our break-even premium rate is 3.34%. We're charging 2.75%. So that means from day one, as we start the year, we're under-collecting by nearly $150 million. That's quite a lot of money when you look at the context of the scheme that we're in. So we're underfunded by the tune of $150 million from the day we start at the beginning of the financial year. It's not sustainable. If we do more of the same, it's clearly not sustainable. We have a number of initiatives that have been implemented as a result of the recent government review around getting much more active in the way in which the scheme is managed, and WorkCover taking responsibility and working much more constructively with our agents and other service providers. But the message is pretty clear that if we do that well, then in 3 to 5 years, if we do that particularly well, there's a good chance we might actually get the break-even, the break-even premium rate somewhere near the 2.75% that we're actually charging. So nowhere near the sorts of average premium rates that other states are charging at around 1.5%. Hence the reason that you're hearing the noises out of South Australia about the need for a roots and branches approach to what the legislation should look like. When the scheme was constructed back in 1987, it was constructed, and it actually clearly states in the paper that was put together with the legislation, that it was a 3% pension scheme. 3% pension scheme. So if you run it well, you might get it to about 2.75. At the moment, we're not managing it very well at all, and it's running at 3.34%. Clearly, we can do better, but we won't get it to 1.5% whilst we have a scheme that is constructed as a 3% pension scheme. Just to give you a bit of context of what's actually happening with the outcomes with the claims, I think that's fairly self-evident. I won't speak too much to it. I think what I would say is, and Len spoke about stress claims a little bit earlier, at the 2 week mark in our scheme, we have about 4% of our claims stress related as the primary cause of injury. By 26 weeks, they account for 20% of our claims, with an average cost 3 times greater than musculoskeletal claims. So clearly we've got an issue emerging in respect of the way we manage those types of claims. I think when I talk about the scheme being managed passively in South Australia, I think one of the we've forgotten one key word that we should be using when we're managing a compensation scheme that does have as part of its context that not everybody's entitled, and it's a little two-letter word that we've not got real good at using in South Australia. Two letters, starts with the word N, no. We've not been real good at South Australia at saying no when people aren't entitled, and it's been a real challenge culturally to try to change that attitude around and say, when it's pretty clear that legislation says you're not entitled, then you're not entitled. So that's presented a challenge. I thought I would just throw this slide up, which actually is about the psychological injuries that have been occurring in our scheme over the last number of years. The green line across the bottom is what you would call the post-traumatic stress types of injuries, so the ones where, you know, the hold-ups and what have you. Interestingly, no increase right throughout the period that I think it goes back to, can't actually see there, but it goes back quite a number of years. About 2010-11, suddenly we started to get a massive increase in the perception, I think someone was describing in one of the sessions I was at yesterday, the perceptions type of psychological injuries, being the bullying and harassment, the work pressure. So we started to get quite a significant increase, probably 3 times what was happening more than three actually, and they account for about 3 times the cost though of the musculoskeletal injuries. There was one other phenomenon that's quite interesting when you look at the period at which these claims actually started to escalate in the scheme in South Australia. Now, the evidence is not definitive other than to simply say that it correlates with the introduction of provisional liability. Is it the cause? We don't know. But it does mean we've got to stop and have a look at how we've implemented provisional liability in the scheme in South Australia and to see whether it's having an adverse effect on what's happening to the liabilities in that scheme and whether or not perhaps it's been the driver in our lack of capability to use the word no when we should be. With that, I'd just finish up and thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.